saw in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians how that Jesus Christ, who loved the whole world and died for the world, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And reconciliation is a summary doctrine that tells us all the different things, or is involved in all the different things that happen to us when we're saved. We're reconciled to God. We're out of harmony. We're out of step. But we're brought back to harmony, or back to perfect righteousness with God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's given us this ministry where we can tell other people how they can be reconciled to God also. And then He gave us some instructions here in the 6th chapter that since we have this ministry of reconciliation, that we are workers together with Him. And since we are workers together, then He's given us some more instructions there. And beginning at about the 8th verse, He tells us how we can be adaptable. We need to be able to be on an even keel on any kind of circumstance. It doesn't matter whether we're in a place of honor or a place of dishonor, whether there's an evil report given out against us or a good report. And by the way, an evil report, it doesn't make a difference most of the time whether a person is right in what he says, just as long as he has a report he wants to give out. And people don't matter. It doesn't matter to them whether it's right or not. Just as long as it's something evil against somebody, they're glad to give it out. As deceivers and yet true, we are unknown. It doesn't make any difference if we go into places we are unknown. It makes no difference if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We don't have to be patted on the head and pampered a little bit if we know Christ and we are in fellowship with Him. We can take friendliness, or we can take it where they aren't necessarily friendly to us. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference. It says if we just act just like we are well known, we walk into the place where the Word of God is taught, we can sit down, we can learn, we can have fellowship with God, and we can understand the Word of God. We can get up and walk out the back door. Now, it's nice when people are friendly. They ought to be. We ought to be friendly, but it doesn't necessarily make any difference. We can still be even and be on an even keel regardless. It doesn't make any difference whether we are dying or whether we're living. We can still be on an even keel. Even though we are chastened of the Lord, when we get out of fellowship, the Lord chastens us, He disciplines us, but we don't die. We're still alive, see. We are not killed. We haven't sinned unto death, so we can keep going and be adaptable. We can be, there are times when we are sorrowful, and yet we can always rejoice. Down inside, even though the circumstances outside might not be very good, and there might be some things that would tend to make a person sad, and there certainly are tragic things that happens all around us, but still on the inside we can have inner peace because we know God's running the show. It may look like Satan's running it, but we know God, that Satan is only doing what God permits him to do, and in the final analysis, he's still running the show. Well, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. We may not have a lot of this world's good, but we can make many people rich by giving them the good news and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing in the world that's richer than for a person who is on his way to hell. Now he's saved and on the way to heaven because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we have nothing, yet we can possess all things, Paul says. Now, it doesn't sound much like he's talking to the Christian folks until he gets in the 11th verse. He's giving them the instruction now. He's in there, O ye Corinthians. Our speech or our mouth is to you is candid or is open. He says, now we want to teach you. Our mouth is open to you. Now Paul had gone there to Corinth, and he had taken with him Silas and Timothy. And these three men had gone into Corinth, and they had witnessed to those people. And they had won them to Christ, and then they had gone out, stayed up all night and at night, and they were teaching the Word of God, and they would work all day making tents and this kind of thing. And he says, our mouth is open to you. We want to teach you. Our heart is wide open. We are enlarged by the opportunity of coming there and preaching and teaching you and training you. He says, now this is what we wanted to do, and this is what we did while we were there. And yet, on our part, there is no restraint. And the word restraint there means inner conflict. Now, inside of us, there wasn't any inner conflict. We came there, we witnessed to you, we preached to you, we taught you, and we did because we wanted to do it. And it wasn't a conflict there between what we were doing and
what you were doing.
But now on this side, there is mental conflict, but there is constraint in your affection. In other words, in your bowels, there's an inner conflict there as far as you're concerned. Because you see, some people, as we have pointed out from time to time, some other people had come in and they had tried to pollute the mind of these people they had taught. And they had an inner conflict. They said, was Paul and Silas and Timothy, were they really right? Was what they teaching, was that really the truth? Or was it not? Now, Paul, he doesn't have a very good personality, you know. Paul, he's sort of short-spoken. He just doesn't waste a lot of words. He puts it just like it is, and he doesn't try to sugarcoat it. And he doesn't try to pat anybody on the back. He just lays it out there, and you can take it or leave it. And you know, there are preachers like that. They just sort of lay it out, and there it is. Now, you can take it or leave it. And then there are those who try to sugarcoat it. And you know, maybe you like your sugar-coated. Well, that's fine. If you like it, sugar-coated, that's great. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. But just as long as you're getting the right kind of pill, you know, make sure you're taking the right kind of medicine. Now, it doesn't matter if you have to take it straight, and that's the only way you can get it. Okay, take it straight. But just the Word of God. Now, Paul says there's an inner conflict in you. They were disappointed with Paul. In fact, they were really down on him right then. And like they did times when people get down on the preacher. Well, things didn't change for who I have. Have you ever heard a congregation get down on the preacher? Oh, yeah. I have. Heard of it lots of times. And that's not the end of it. But you know, it really doesn't make any difference about the preacher's personality. It doesn't matter what kind of a personality he is or how he presents the truth, if he's presenting the truth. And this is what Paul is trying to say. Now, I realize Paul says my limitations. I realize that I have a certain kind of a personality, and maybe you don't like it, but I still love you. I still want to give you the Word of God. I still want to fellowship with you. We're going to fellowship around the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in fair exchange, I speak as unto children. Now the word my there is in italics. He says, in fair exchange, I'm speaking as unto children, open thou your heart to us. Now I want you to know that what I want is just for you to get the Word of God and that you might open wide or you might be enlarged. Now what does it mean to be enlarged? This is open wide your heart. That means to be enlarged and to grow up. Paul says, all I want you to do is that you grow up. And it doesn't matter how you grow, just as long as you're getting the Word of God. Like I say, there are people who have to have it put in flowery language. And unless a preacher can get up and he can use a lot of oratory, and unless he is real dynamic, and unless he can really tickle their ears, then they won't sit there and they won't listen. They say, well, that man just can't speak. Now, he may not be able to preach, but he can still give out the Word of God. He can still shut the cone, so to speak. He can teach. Now, it's hard to listen to. It's not nearly as easy to listen to as this guy who can really spit it out. But then some of those that really spit it out and don't not do anything but spitting it out, they're not giving anything to you. The main thing is, don't take a man's personality. Take what he's saying as he teaches. And Paul says, this is all we want. All we want to do is to come to you, and all we want to do is just to teach you the Word of God so that your heart can be opened wide, so that you can be enlarged, so you can grow up and not be babies. Remember in the first book of 1 Corinthians, we looked there in the second chapter, the third chapter. He says, I can't speak unto you as of the spirit. The third chapter says, I, brethren, came to you could not speak of you as a spiritual, but as in the carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now, you're just a baby. You have not grown up. You have not learned in the Word of God. You have not been able to apply it to your life. And we had to come there and give you just milk and not meat. Now, we want you to be enlarged. We want you to become mature. We want you to be at the place where you can really be productive for the Lord. And he gives us some instructions as to how we can become productive. The 14th verse of this sixth chapter. He says, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Now, what does it mean to be unequally yoked together? Well, this is the same thing as putting an ox and an ass together right in plow. Now, I never had one crop in my life. I'm not a farmer. But one time I did farm, I had 5 acres of cotton. And that was enough for me. Now, that was back in the days we didn't have a tractor. And my father used to farm, and he didn't have a tractor. And actually, we had a great big old saddle horse. And that thing was, he must have been about this tall. And we had a little Shetland pony. And that's what I used to plow with, that little bitty old Shetland pony, which was about that tall, and that great big old horse. Now, you talking about crooked rows. You've never seen such crooked rows in all of your life. And, of course, I wasn't very good at plowing to start with. And when I started cultivating that stuff, I was getting about half the cotton when we'd go down to plow that thing. Now, that's what you call unequally yoked together. And, you know, you should have seen what a mess that was. In fact, there wasn't enough cotton there to even pick. It started raining. And we didn't even harvest the crop. Just left it out in the field. Well, that's just about what happens when you go to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. It's just about the same situation. And I know lots of people who have been unequally yoked together. Now, there are several ways you can be unequally yoked together. We want to look at about 3 this morning. The first one, as far as religion is concerned, religiously speaking. Now, there are a lot of people and a lot of Christians who are unequally yoked together with unbelievers as far as Christianity is concerned. In other words, they are believers, but they belong to an organization or a church that is not or does not believe the Word of God or does not teach the Word of God. Now, any Christian who belongs to a church or an organization like that is unequally yoked together. I would not be a part of any church or any organization that had anything to do with the National Council of Churches or the World Council of Churches or any apostate organization. Now, there are certain denominations that you belong to. If you belong to, every time you put a penny in the collection plate, you're giving to these organizations that are apostate. Now, a Baptist church doesn't have to be there. You see, this is one reason why I happen to be Baptist, is because that we are a local organization and we can do as we please. We are answerable to anyone but God Almighty Himself. There isn't anybody who can come into this church and tell me what to preach, how to preach, or what to do. And our deacon and our church as a whole, now we can decide if we want to give to the National Council of Churches, we can vote to do it. If we don't want to, we don't have to. We don't have to give to anything that we do not want to give to. Now, in fact, the only way you can give anything outside the ministry of this local church to this local church is by designation. You can designate anything you want to go anywhere you want to, but then that's your responsibility, not the church's responsibility. Every penny that comes here stays right here, and we use it for the ministry of this church, except what is designated. And like I say, you can designate for anything you want to. If you want to designate for the National Council of Churches, that's your business. But remember, you're responsible to God for the way you use that money, for your money. Yeah? There are a lot of people who are in churches where they do not believe the Word of God, and they do not preach the Word of God. And they're going in that church, and they're going to change that church. They're going to evangelize that church. They're going to turn the whole thing around and make it go the other way. What does the Bible say? Do not be unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. I would never be a part of a church in any kind of way where the preacher did not have a strong testimony that he believes in the death, burial, and resurrection and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I would not submit my family to a situation like this. I would not let my child go to a church like this. Because the Bible says, do not do it. All right? The second way is in marriage. Now, there are those people who are dating, and I wish all of our college young people were here this morning. They are dating unsaved people. And now you want a mess, you want to get your life in a real mess, then you just marry an unsaved person. And when you do, you're going to be going in one direction, and he's going to be going, or she's going to be going in the other direction, and you're going to be just like that horse and that mule. And your life is going to be in a worse mess than that crop I had when I was in high school. Because, you see, they did not pull together. And unless two agree, they cannot walk together. And if you're going to have a testimony and you're going to maintain a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot do it if your mate, the person that you are the closest to, is going in the opposite direction. Now, this is specifically what he's talking about here. Not only in religion or in your Christianity, but also in your marriage life. And then there's also in your social life. This is the third way that we're not to be unequally yoked together. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have anything to do with unsaved people at all. The Bible is saying that you are not to have as your main friends unsaved people. In other words, the people that you spend the most time with, that you associate yourself with the most, should be saved people. Now, of course, if we never have anything to do with the unsaved people, then how are we going to ever win to Christ? But see, your close friends are not unsaved people. Your close friends are Christians, people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and want the same things that you want. That should be your close associates. It's impossible for you to rise above the pressures of your close friends. You're not doing it. If you do, you'll be one out of a million. Now, that's too big of odds for me. That's too big of odds. Maybe you can. Maybe you've got that much determination. Maybe you've got that much backbone. Maybe you've got that much willpower. Why take a chance? And then there is the business world. You go in business with an unsaved person, and as long as you go along with his tactics and as long as you go along with his ideas about business, you'll be doing fine. But if you try to put any Christian ideals or ideas in there, then you're going to be worse than that crop. It's going to be a mess. And so the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever in at least these three areas. Now, there may be others that you would like to think about and like to apply to this. But at least in these four ways, you are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, he gives us five different reasons why. Notice here. He says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There's none. Righteousness is over here, and unrighteousness is over here. And they do not go together. They are the opposite of each other, see? Actually, unrighteousness there means lawlessness. See? Lawlessness. And this is not the fruit of the Spirit. This is not the control of the Holy Spirit in your life. The second one is found there. What communication hath light with darkness? What communication, what fellowship is there with the Word of God and ignorance of the Word of God? There's none. We have light. Jesus Christ will give you light. What has a person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not know the Word of God? Then what fellowship is that again? There's none. They know not what the Bible says. They have no idea what it's all about. And you do. And you understand the principles of the Word of God, then how are you going to agree on anything? Because, you see, the Word of God is foolishness to the unsaved person.
Neither can he know them because they are understood only by the Spirit. And an unsaved person does not have the Spirit. Consequently, can't understand God's Word and won't know anything about what's going on. It all looks wrong to him. That's the reason why they're so afraid of the Bible, because it looks so wrong. But once we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're born again. God, the Holy Spirit, comes inside of us and teaches us the Word of God, and we begin to realize how right it is. And the more you know of the Word of God, the more you know how right what it says is. So what communion have these two together? Then the third thing is found in the 15th verse. What concord? And the word concord means agreement of mind. What agreement of mind hath Christ with Belial? Now, Belial means worthlessness. What concord, what agreement of mind hath Christ with Belial or Satan? Worthlessness. There's no concord there. There's no agreement. Satan is going in one direction and Jesus Christ is going in exactly the opposite direction. So there's nothing together that they can have in common. They both have opposite, exact opposite aims and goals in life or for eternity. So there's no concord agreement there. Or the fourth thing is found, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? A person who does not believe in God. One who does believe and one who does not believe. What association? The word with there means association with. What association with a believer has with an infidel, one who doesn't believe? There's none whatsoever.
Well, the fifth one
is found in 16. But what agreement or what union hath the temple of God with idols? There's none. There's no union at all of the temple of God with an idol. Now you see, this is getting back to this business of Satan's religion and Christ's religion, or true Christianity, as we should say. Now, all religions are put into actually one camp. Anybody who says you have to do something to get to heaven is a religion. Those who say it's been done by Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, that's in one camp. And everything else is piled up into another camp. They have little to do or a lot to do. Like you have to get on your hands and knees and crawl up some stairs and kiss a big toe to have eternal life. Or you have to give 2 years of your life to missionary work before you can be saved to go to heaven. Or many other things that they have to do. It doesn't matter. You have to be water baptized to be saved. It's religion. There's no concord. There's no agreement with these two things. Either it was done with Jesus Christ's work on the cross, either he finished it all, he completed salvation, and it's all given to you as a free gift, or you have to work for it. And there's no agreement together. It's either one or the other. So what are you going to do? You're going to try to mix them together when they cannot be mixed? No, we can't. Because there's no agreement, there's no union with the temple of God and idols. For ye are the temple of the living God. You see, you are the tent of the living God. This means that God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of your body. This is actually what happens the moment you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. God, the Holy Spirit, comes down inside of your body and you're regenerated. You're born again, and the Holy Spirit does not leave you until you die physically. He stays there. He indwells you. See, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell, notice, I will dwell in them. And God is dwelling in you if you have believed that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day as a payment for your sins. And I will walk, not in them, but I will walk among them. I will walk among them. Now, I'll not only be in you, but I'll be among you too. I'll be on the outside, protecting the outside. I'm not only inside to regenerate and to lead and guide you, but I'm also around you.
You see, God is everywhere present. And so he is among us. And all that, but I will be their God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. I'll be your God, and you should be my children. You should be my people. Wherefore? Because of these things, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, anybody who says that they can stay in a church that is apostate, that does not believe the Word of God, that does not teach the Word of God, is in direct rebellion against this verse of Scripture right here, because the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. And I will receive you. Now, he'll receive you as far as fellowship is concerned. I will receive you and will be a father unto you. Now, he's talking about a father as far as blessing is concerned. If you'll come out from among and you'll not have anything to do with the apostate, you'll not have anything to do with the unclean, those who do not believe the Word of God, those who do not teach the Word of God, those who do not have anything to do with the Word of God, those who are in opposition to the death, burial, and resurrection, the cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ only, his death, burial, and resurrection, he says, I will be a father. I will pour out blessing upon you. See? And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, the Lord Almighty here is a reference to the, well, this is the Hebrew, this is the Greek counterpart of the Hebrew word El Shaddai. Now, what does that mean? That means the Almighty who will provide everything. When we come out from among and we take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we take a clear, positive stand, and we do not have anything to do with those who do not believe in our wonderful God and our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God will supply our needs. He'll take care of us. He will be our Almighty, our El Shaddai. He will be the one who will take us into his bosom and provide us whatever we need, as a loving Heavenly Father does to a child who comes in and fellowships with him. Now, this is what God wants to do for you, what he wants to do for me. And you know, it's amazing how God does bless those who take this kind of stand. He keeps his word. He'll do what he says. Now, when you dilly-dally around, and when you compromise, and when you do not, you know, you're sort of on one side of the fence one day and on the other side of the fence the next day, and you aren't real sure just where you stand, just where you want to believe or what you want to do and how who you want to associate with, then you wonder why God doesn't bless you, why he's not to you a father, and why you don't know him personally, and how why he doesn't protect you and take care of you, because you see you're out from under his protection. You have taken it into your own hands. Well, I just can't give up this friend. I just can't quit doing this thing. I just can't quit going there. My friends, they'll all leave and I won't have any friends. See? No. He'll take care of us. This is what he promises in his word. So maybe you're here this morning and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you're in the darkness. Then you're with Belial. Then you're worshiping idols.
Now, it doesn't have to be a little icon. It doesn't have to be a statue to be an idol. Anything that's not the Lord Jesus Christ would be an idol. Your idol may be popularity. I know some people's idols are automobiles, or prestige, or popularity. Or it can be just anything. It doesn't have to be a little statue of a little fat man or a skinny man or any kind of man. It can be materialism even. It could be just anything. Whatever you put first and most important in your life, then that can be your God. And no wonder our old world is so mixed up and so confused. It's because they touch the unclean thing. It doesn't really matter. Well, I'm saved. It doesn't matter if I'm hooked up with an unsaved person and that person is going this way and God wants me to go this way, but you go along with this one and you're out of God's will and out of His fellowship, and all the discipline gets so heavy and everything is just wrong and you're all torn up inside and there's a conflict there and you're disturbed and you're upset. Well, God's not being to you a father. He's not supplying your needs. He's not providing you with everything. Because you see, you have left His fellowship and taken the fellowship of the world and Satan's system. And what do you expect but the discipline of God? Paul, listen. When you become a child of God, you won't go to hell ever if you believe that Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again the third day as a penalty for your sin. And it's better to trust Him as your Savior and go to heaven than it is not to trust Him and die and go to hell. Even though you know you're not going to walk with Him, you're not going to do what He says, you're going to be unequally yoked in many different ways. It's better to be miserable now and be happy for eternity than it is to be miserable now and even more miserable in eternity. So what should you do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved now. Just bow your head for prayer.